Here's an exclusive interview on Thirst World Problems.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Thirst World Problems, and today we are interviewing Matt Bull, also known as Cocktails by Tempest.
How you going, guys?
Hey, man, welcome to the pod.
Thank you very much for having me.
I have one of our fan favorites question for you. How do you make the perfect Moscow Mule?
I've never actually made a Moscow Mule. I have. It's been a while, though.
So what is one of your go-to cocktails, then?
For me, my go-tos at the moment are my old fashions. I tend to gravitate towards them most of the time. Yeah, I tend to play around with different whiskies, different syrups or bitters. And, try and make something a bit more exciting than just your standard old fashioned, which in itself, if you choose the right whiskey with that, you're going to get a good drink no matter what happens.
So then what's one of your favorite twists to put on to an old fashioned then?
My favorite actually comes from a bar in Adelaide called Mississippi Moon. I went there one night and they had a Fireball old fashioned on the menu.
Fireball?
I went in there. Oh yeah. I had to try it. Mm-hmm. And essentially, you're using 1 ounce of Maker's Mark, 1 ounce of Fireball, a little bit of bitters, a little bit of sugar. Mix that all together. Absolutely beautiful. Cinnamony, smoky. Oh, I loved it.
So speaking of twists on drinks, the last couple of episodes, as well as this week's episode, we interviewed someone who's leading the industry on marijuana infused drinks and wines and maybe even spirits in the future. What have you ever tried that, or do you think that's something that's coming in the future? Just because if you listen to our episode this week, Bell actually just tried that for the first time and he had a pretty good time. So I was wondering, have you ever tried that, or do you think in the future you would, or what are your thoughts on that?
Okay, so are you meaning hemp or marijuana itself?
Like THC infused.
That's not really available in Australia. There are a few hemp gins going around. As for, THC type things, that's not very available. And for my job, I'm not actually allowed to have that in my system at all. So if I was to go down that path, it could impact my work. It's not exactly something I'm going to be experimenting too much with.
Good answer.
Yeah. Hey, I would if I could, but yeah, it's not available for me, unfortunately.
When creating a post, I see just the background. How long does that come together? Like when setting everything up, like what's the process on one of your posts here?
Yeah. Not too long, really. I've got it sort of always set up now. So it doesn't take me all that long, probably about 15 minutes. I could get a post done depending on the garnish. It's usually the garnish that takes me the most. I usually tend to go a little bit extra with my garnishes. that's usually what takes the most time.
Do you ever I've noticed a lot of the drinks are very colorful. Is that just is it more for looks, or is it,
does it add to the taste?
Or does it add to the taste? Exactly what you said there, Bill.
Yeah. I tend to try and make them nice and bright and colorful and fun, but I try and do it so that they actually do add something to the drink. Like there's no point adding something in there just for color if the drink's going to taste nasty, you know? So I'm a big fan of my old blue curacao. I love my blue drinks. They're always fun. They tend to be a bit sweeter, those ones as well.
Amen.
And, sometimes people like that. Sometimes people don't like that. That's all up to everyone's individual taste.
Well, I'm sitting with two that don't like the sweet, and I'm a big fan of the sweet. So me and you are like-minded there. Yeah, these two grumps.
You guys,
I've started out with the sweet ones, so they've sort of got a special place in my heart. I'm actually tending towards more bitter drinks nowadays. But that's just how your palate changes over the years. So
Well, I don't know about you, but Bell's cavity count's growing as well. So I've been trying to keep him off these sweet drinks, but he's not listening. So maybe you could talk some sense into him.
We might have to cap all of this very soon.
Just mix him up with a couple of bitter drinks, mate. You'll be fine.
There you go.
His personality overall is very bitter, but the drinks.
Oh, here we go.
Cold.
So what are you drinking in the summer? If someone came up to you and said, like, maybe, I don't know, a podcast approached you and was like, we need a drink of the summer. What is it that you'd put together to be that drink that says summertime with every sip?
Okay. For me, it's a drink I created in our summer. I think it was Christmas of 2018. I created it. I call it I didn't name it anything. I created this drink. This is the story behind it anyway. I just wanted something fun, light, sort of tiki style a little bit, because our Christmases down here are boiling hot. And so I just wanted something fun, something pretty simple as well. I created this coconut style drink, and I couldn't come up with a name for it. I was just mucking around with all these different names, and I showed it to my fiance, and she just looked at it, and I said, oh, what should I call it? She goes, oh, it looks like the ocean, like the colour it came out. And I said, I just don't know what to call it. And she said, oh, I should call it the coconut splish splash. So that stuck. So, yeah, it's the coconut splish splash because it looks like the ocean, you know, and you splish splash around in the ocean. So,
well, it sounds delicious so far. So you got my attention.
Okay. So for the coconut splish splash, you want 2 ounces of rum, 1.5 ounces of pineapple juice, 3/4 of an ounce of blue curacao, you know, that favorite of mine I was telling you about.
Yeah.
You also want 3/4 of an ounce of lime juice and then 1/2 ounce of falernum.
Sorry, what was the last ingredient there?
It's falernum. I've actually got a bottle here. It's a sort of tiki style syrup. It's got ginger, vanilla, almonds. Like, it's a, a bit of clove in there as well sometimes, depending on who you get it from. But, yeah, it's just a sort of spicy type syrup. Sort of, you see it in a lot of tiki drinks.
Okay.
Do you get a lot of do you get a lot of people mimicking the way you post drinks and whatnot? Do you have any like mixologists who have rivalries with you? I feel like the mixologist industry, there's always gonna be a rivalry. Is there anything like that?
On Instagram, I haven't really noticed anything like that. It's a pretty great community there. Everyone tends to look out for everyone else. I've seen a few accounts sort of pop up that look, you know, have the sort of similar backdrop to what I've been doing. And if it works for them, it works for me. So it doesn't really bother me all that much. They're making good content. It's not anything I really need to worry about myself.
So
we're all there having fun, you know.
So what about the on the opposite spectrum then? Have you had any cocktail groupies approaching you, trying to slide into your DMs after seeing one of your great cocktail posts?
Oh, you get DMs of people asking you to promote their pages or bars or something like that. And, if the account's up to scratch and they haven't literally just started, I've had a couple of people who they'll post like one picture and they'll go, hey, I want you to pump me on the wall, on your page. And it's like, well, get a bit more of a body of work so I can, you know, talk you up a little bit. It looks a little bit strange if I just go, hey, check out this one picture and it's so amazing. So, you know, I prefer people to have a few pictures in the bank before I'll, you know, go ahead and go, hey, check this guy out. He looks pretty cool. So
no bachelorette parties approaching you to maybe bartend one day or anything along those lines?
I did do one. That was for a friend up in Adelaide in the city. And that was good fun. They wanted a what did they want? They wanted one cocktail. One, they only wanted the one cocktail because they didn't have a massive budget. So I wanted to try and keep it relatively relatively small. So we made one cocktail and a few different styles of G&T, which was really easy because that was just changing the tonics around to, you know, give different flavors. And then they had some wine and stuff like that going. So I just sat in the corner and mixed up some drinks for them. And we did a mocktail as well, which was quite fun because there was a few pregnant ladies there. So, yeah, no, that was good fun, though. It was a really good night. I had a good time as well, from what I was told. So that was the main thing.
Well, you ever get somebody who asks to make just like a bland drink and you just go no to them? You just, it's unacceptable. I have to make something. You need to challenge me. Like, are you that type of person? Because I feel like that's what I'm sensing here. You need to.
No.
Can't be no Ryan Coke. You need to do a Ryan Coke infused with, you know, some sort of pineapple and throw like a little wedge in there. No, nothing like that.
No, not at all. Like, hey, everyone's got their own tastes. You know, I've got a mate whose palate's completely different to mine. You know, I'll sit there and taste something and think, oh my God, this is amazing. Here, try this. And it was like, oh, no, that's not for me. You know, and it's like, oh, okay, well, you know, that's cool. But then I'll taste something and go, oh, I'm not a big fan of that. And they're going, oh, make me one. I love it. It's like, oh, okay, no worry. You know, everyone's got their own flavors, palates, and, you know, what they're interested in. And, hey, I started out with, like, rum and Cokes and Jackson Cokes and stuff like that. You know, they have their place. I have them every now and then when I go on a Christmas party or something like that.
I'm still in that place. Anyway.
I miss the Jack and Coke.
Nothing wrong with that.
I haven't had a Jack and Coke in a while. I miss that.
For some reason, I can't move from that place. I don't know what's going on with me.
But. I don't know about you guys, but, like, it doesn't really matter about my palate. It's just matter about my mood. So if it's, like, spur of the moment. So, example, B and I, we went to just this small town and we weren't going to drink or anything, but this one person just kind of influenced us to do it. And you're like, you know what? Let's do it. We just had tequila shots and we started drinking randomly and just had a good time. But there's times where you just want to have, you know, something sweet and just kind of relax and enjoy yourself. I don't know about you, but my palate's always different. I think it's just the way what my mood is that day.
So you're saying that your mood dictates even the type of drinks you're going to have?
Yes. Nice. Yes.
Oh, definitely. That okay. definitely happens. Yeah, but I find that all the time.
But then there's some people who just have to stick with their guns and just keep with what they have all the time. And usually it's just
I know a few people like that too.
I kind of like, you're right. I see this guy's kind of pointing at me and nodding at me. I don't know. I like the tropical feel. I like having a juice mixed in there or something citrusy in a lot of the drinks, like especially in the summer. I want that feel to feel like I'm at the beach with every sip that I'm having.
Yeah, I find summer you want light, you know, you want light, you want refreshing. Cheaper drinks are like a big example for that. Like they can be packed full of flavor, absolutely packed full of flavor, but it doesn't feel like you're sitting there drinking this really heavy drink. Like, while they're packed full of alcohol and you can get pretty wrecked on them pretty easy, you know, they don't taste like, yeah, they don't taste like it. So
I'm going
to be careful.
I'm going to throw my little secret out here. So if I know I don't really want to drink as much and I have people who just, you know, are having, let's say it's a barbecue or something, I'll have like a scotch on the rocks because knowing that I can just sip it in the same glass and just coast. If I know I don't want to drink well, as much.
That's the same as what I do with my old fashions, you know.
Yeah.
They, you know, they're a sipping drink. They're not one you're going to sit there and just down in one go. So you sort of sit there and you experience the drink. You don't have to, like, it's the same. It's just a glass of whiskey. You want to sit there and you want to taste it. You don't want to just pound it back.
What do you like to eat with your drinks? Like, no, obviously, like, just finger foods and stuff. Like, what do you think goes good with these summer drinks that, you know, our audience is going to be making based on your recommendations?
Yeah, what pairs with a coconut splish splash?
Nice pizza.
Oh, yeah, definitely pizza. Say anything goes with this one, mate. It's one of those just fun drinks, you know. It's a party thing. whatever you're going to eat at your party, this will pair with it. Trust me.
I like having something crunchy, nice. I would say, like peanuts or some kind of nuts or
When I have my friends around, we've usually got, you know, a bowl of chips or something sitting on the bar, and after you've had a few, those chips get even more and more delicious. So I always recommend having some of those hanging around.
Do you ever just end up eating the whole bag?
Between the three of us, or four or five of us, right, we go through a few bags, yeah. I tend to try and keep food out there when I'm out there making my drinks up for my posts and stuff, though, because, that could get dicey.
Are whiskey rooms very popular there? Like, do you guys have those types of things?
What was that, sorry?
Whiskey rooms? We call them here whiskey rooms, but it's like, it's just a small place where people can just lounge and it's just different types of whiskeys aged from, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, whiskey bar description, yeah.
Whiskey
bar. See, I'm from the country. Yeah, I'm from the country, so no. But I'm assuming there are some in the city. I know my mate went to Melbourne, and he actually went to a whiskey bar where they had that. You know, it was sort of a bit more dimly lit and, you know, rather masculine type of bar. Lots and lots of whiskeys on the wall. But me personally, I don't get to the city much, so I haven't had the opportunity to experience that sort of thing.
So the first time I've ever gone to one of those is with one of my good friends, and the bartender tried to give us the experience of different type of whiskeys, and just you know, he'll give us different aged whiskeys with different types of meats and cheeses, and to me, honestly, every deli tasted the same, every cheese tasted the same, and the whiskey was just, you know, it was the same. So I don't know how people do that. Do you he was believing that, you know, you take a piece of, I don't know what type of meat it was, you take a piece of meat and then you take a sip and you could feel the different flavors coming out while it's in your palate. Do you guys have like stuff like that?
Flavors of the meat or flavors of the whiskey?
Well, it's supposed to expand the flavors of the whiskey and the meat combined, and you're supposed to have that experience. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I've experienced that. I did a gin masterclass where you go there and you learn about different gins and, how they're created, and you must sort of make your own gin while you're there as well with extracts and stuff like that, and you do it all up.
And then little did I know, one of them up a $200 bill for it, so he got me.
But, yeah, this one was from Kangaroo Island Distilleries. They put it on at the Central Market in Adelaide where they paired their certain gins with foods, and they collected foods throughout the day from the Central Market, and they had one of their sort of chefs who works at their stall in the market prepare a whole heap of different foods, either using their gin or building foods to complement their gins with ingredients that are actually found in the gins. So we had like one gin, we talked about its creation and, you know, its flavor profile and stuff like that. And then they moved on gin, food, gin, food, gin. And one of them we had, for example, was a sashimi, I think it was Tasmanian salmon. Which had been cured in one of their gins, and you paired that with their gin, and you really did get those little extra flavors that you normally wouldn't notice. So there is definitely something to it. I've done a lot of tasting. Tasmanian salmon.
Salmon. Wow, I've never heard of that. And you mix that with the gin.
Yeah, I'm not sure how they prepared it entirely, but they sort of cut it up and they almost pickled it sort of thing, but they only left it in there for a little while. So it sort of absorbed some of those flavors of the gin. And, you know, gin's got a whole heap of different botanicals in it as it is, so it's perfect for that type of thing. And, yeah, it was a nice buttery sort of feel in your mouth. It was really smooth. It almost melted in your mouth. It was brilliant.
Wow.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. And I guess he kind of showed you that he's on the next level where his palate is refined enough to tell the differences in some of these flavors that come out.
Honestly, my palate doesn't even exist. I'm gonna be honest with you.
Hey, I still eat salt vinegar chips by the handful. Surprised.
You'd be surprised. Like, I've had a lot of people sort of teaching me how to, taste things a bit more and stuff like that with certain things that I've done. So, you will be tasting it. You're just sort of not noticing it.
I'm just not classy enough. Seems I think that's what it is.
Oh, I'd agree. You're not classy enough at all.
Yeah, I think my class level is not that up there, so I can't really. If I put alcohol in my mouth and they told me to hold it for my palate, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to drink it back. Like that's just a normal.
Can I get another?
It's just rude, man. East Indian tradition, man. You got alcohol in your mouth, you have to drink it. You can't just hold it in your mouth. That's just rude.
I just came from a course where we did a whiskey tasting, and that whiskey tasting, they told us how they judge whiskeys when they do the competitions.
Okay.
And apparently they hold the whiskey in their mouth for a minute. They move it around. Yeah, they move it around a certain way, and at certain times you'll notice different things happening and different flavors coming into play, and then you swallow it after the minute, and then you get the aftertaste and like the back notes of the whiskey and stuff. It was really, really interesting, and it was crazy how much it did change. It was amazing.
Well, you mentioned that you live out on the countryside out in Australia, so I'm wondering if you've had any run-ins with any wildlife out there.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely. On the way to work, I've hit a kangaroo. Oh, that was on the way home from work one night.
That blows my mind. That blows my mind.
Well, that'd be like you guys have deer up your way, wouldn't you?
Yep.
Yeah, we got tons of deer.
Yeah, so, you hit deer. I've seen like three deer in my life.
I guess that's true.
I find that crazy.
You can fight a deer, though. You could fight a kangaroo, though.
Yeah, like a kangaroo will.
Oh, yeah. Kangaroos are,
So was that a complete write-off for your car?
No, it wasn't a write-off because I was able to slow down. It did cost a lot to fix it.
There is kangaroo insurance, though, right?
Oh, it's all covered in insurance. One of those things that happens. You hit kangaroos, emus, people have hit wombats before. Oh. Those things will destroy your car.
A wombat?
They're very solid. Yeah, they're very, very solid.
Oh,
very, very beefy, those things.
All right.
But, I've never seen one of those out on the road, though, so that's been good.
Have you sampled kangaroo? Like after you hit the kangaroo?
Oh, definitely. Oh, no. You can get it from the shop here, though.
Yeah, you're disgusting, man. Let's get to the gauntlet here. You ready? Let's get to the gauntlet here, Bill.
Ready for a gauntlet here?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So,
You're very reluctant there.
Hesitated there.
You didn't want to say yes.
Just the name of the gauntlet. So someone must have told you about our gauntlet here. But what we do with the gauntlet is all of our guests that we've had, we've been at 100 so far. We give them the gauntlet. We ask them a few questions and see what they come up with. We've got some very surprising answers. We've got some very common answers. But we're going to hit you up with some gauntlet questions here. Bell, let's go.
I know Matt's still worried about it. His answers from the first time he did it. So let's start off with a nice easy one. Would you rather lose all your fingers or lose all your toes?
Toes.
All right. Oh,
definitely toes.
Would you rather, if you had a chance to save your toes by giving up an ear, would you give up your ear or keep your toes?
Yeah, I'd give up the ear because I'm assuming you're talking about the outside cartilage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look at that.
He'll work with that.
See, next level. I mean, you can wear a hat that well and you'd look like a weirdo, but,
I'd cut my ears off. So I have to hear you.
Might ruin my sunglasses game, but, Oh, well.
What were you doing the last time you were caught?
Oh, last time I was caught. I don't know. Probably having a drink. Actually, no, I was buying more gin.
I wish the doc was here. I can ask him that question.
If you had to, if you had to pick one reality show to go on, what would it be?
Oh dear. I don't know. Maybe the UK Love Islands. My partner's been watching that lately. I just like to go in there and tell them they're all idiots.
What's one of the shadiest places you've ever gone?
Shadiest places. I reckon that was, I won't mention a name, but there was a bar in Adelaide when I was going looking around for different places to, you know, try drinks and look things up on the internet and stuff. And, you know, you walk into a place and you think, I think I just need to leave. but yeah, I reckon that was the worst. You just, as soon as you walked in, you felt uncomfortable.
Yeah. You know. Where the regulars let you know that you're not supposed to be there?
No, but, you know, there wasn't many people, and the people that were there, you sort of think, I don't think this is my thing. I don't think this is for me.
Have you ever had a moment of revenge against somebody?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I've had a few of those.
Could you tell us about one?
It's probably... just probably one of those sort of innocent ones where you're at work, someone's been, you know, giving you the short end of the stick all day, and then you get that opportunity to turn it around. The amount of satisfaction you get from that is just, it's amazing. Just absolutely amazing.
What's the weirdest thing you've seen in someone's house?
I won't say that. God, some of those, you know, those porcelain type characters and stuff like that. Yeah, I've seen some odd ones of those, some rude ones as well.
I feel like you said something really, really disturbing and you're holding it back.
Oh, all right. Well, you know, I've been to like a party or something like that, and, you know, they haven't packed up their toys as well as they should have.
There you go.
He wanted to say.
And you just think, oh.
Just right on the kitchen table, three prong dildo. There you go.
Yeah, no, not the best thing for a party. I think, what sort of party is it going to be? But, yeah, you know.
I didn't sign up for this. You wondered. All right, last one. We'll let you out of here with an easy one. Where is the strangest place you've ever found yourself?
Strangest place? I don't really know, to be honest. Half the stuff that happens to me with my Instagram, if I'm being honest, just being a boy from the country getting invited to do certain things, you know, I always find that weird. So I'm nobody, I work at a steel mill, you know, and I'm getting invited to, do these, you know, bar type situations and stuff like that and talk with people and everything like that. And I'm like, I'm just a steel worker, man. What's going on here? That still spins me out to this day.
Well, I think you're selling yourself a little short. You've got a pretty nice following on Instagram, and your cocktails look amazing.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Well, Matt, thanks so much for coming on with us again here on Thirst World Thank Problems. You. Appreciate the fact that, yeah, it's Sunday morning for this guy. We're recording Saturday night. We're having drinks. We're having some yucks. This guy got up early to come on the pod with us, so we greatly appreciate that. We're definitely going to be drinking this coconut splish plash, and let you know when the full interview goes on. But for the people, and we kind of talked the whole time, like everyone knew who you were because we'd talked to you before, but how can people get a hold of you? Could you just give a little spiel for yourself? Give a little pitch where people can find you, what exactly they can find on your page. And we'll try to get as many people in contact with you there if we can.
Awesome. So I'm Matthew Bull. My page is Cocktails by Tempest on Instagram. I mix drinks. I like playing with flavors. I like having a bit of fun with it. I like being a bit crazy with my garnishes. So if you like relatively simple drinks as well that you can make yourself, come check me out.
Awesome. Thanks again, Matt, for coming on with us. Really appreciate that.
Thanks
man.
A lot, man. Cheers.
It's been my pleasure, boys. Thanks very much.
Thanks for listening to the Thirst World Problems podcast. For more exclusive content, follow us on Instagram @ThirstWorldPod. Make sure to subscribe, like, and share.